More NBA draft coverage coming up right here at Locked On Rockets, but this time we navigate away from NCAA and we dive into the G League as we talk about the G League Ignite's Marjon Beauchamp, Dyson Daniels, and Jaden Hardy, what their strengths and weaknesses are, how their games could potentially translate to the NBA level and with the Houston Rockets, coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and also host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin. The show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. Now, today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Be sure to visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. As always, thank you so much for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. Joining us now for more draft coverage, his continued draft coverage here at Locked On Rockets, is none other than Nathan Fogg, the founder of tnrockets.com. Be sure to check out the blog if you haven't done so yet. You can also follow Nathan for all of his great coverage and insight at NathanFogg1 on Twitter. That's 2 G's in Fogg. Nathan, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm looking forward to talking some G League with you. Yeah, I'm ready for basketball.
Yeah, we're switching it up a little bit here. We're moving away from the traditional prospects, I guess, and what we've been kind of scouting up to this point. And we're going to knock out the three G League prospects today: Dyson Daniels, Jaden Hardy, and Marjon Beauchamp. Which I got to say, Marjon Beauchamp's name is absolutely incredible. Just as far as just on the surface, I love his name. But before we dive into talking about these prospects, Nathan, I wanted to pick your brain a little bit, because I think one of the topics of kind of discussion and at times contention, within, Rockets Twitter and just within, NBA fandom is kind of the discourse between players who have chosen to go the G League route and opt to go that way versus the traditional collegiate route, and kind of the differences in those two pathways for a player to make it to the NBA. And then obviously you've got like the super non-traditional route where you play like overseas and you really like grind it out, like, a la Jayshon Tate. But, has your perspective changed at all given the successes or at times the struggles of Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga, two of the, previous G League Ignite players being brought into the NBA, and then now also scouting these three names that we just mentioned? Has your perception changed at all about development at the G League level and how that prepares players for the NBA?
Not really. I think that the G League is, it's a really good learning experience. First of all, it's good that players get better, which is a good thing in general. It's a good learning experience for kids to be playing against adults all the time, basically. If you've got an 18, 19 year old, when you heard Jalen Green speak about, his experience, playing with even just Bobby Brown, who isn't like some decorated NBA player, unless you're a Houston Rocket fan, obviously. And then the experience of knowing their weaknesses really well. So in college, you can have weaknesses that don't really get exposed as much because you're so athletic or whatever. When you hear Jalen talk about the play Baby, which they run, which was basically get Jalen Green into the post, which they'd run in practice to baby him. Obviously that's not reaped the rewards yet because he's still very weak, but he knew from a very early point that he would have to add weight, add muscle to his frame. I think the G League is a very guard heavy league. You can really rack up numbers. You only have to look at the scoring leaders now, like Mason Jones is averaging like nearly 30 points a game or whatever. And Mason Jones is a good player, but I don't think he's a scorer at the NBA level. I think he's more of a free and D guard myself. But I think we're going to talk about three players today, three guard/wing players who none of them are lighting up the G League. But I think the G League is a place for a 22-year-old to just dominate when you're 18 and 19. And to be fair, Marjon Beauchamp, I think, is 20, nearly 21. I think the defense is optional, but I think when you're 22, like a second-year player, you can dominate. But I don't think that an 18-year-old just kills it straight away, like Jalen didn't. The thing with Jalen is that he, by the end of the season in the G League, he really was killing it. It took him a while to figure it out. But if you look at his last six games or so, he had one game where he got 8 points. But other than that, he's basically averaging 25 points and he got 30 points in the playoff game. So I think once you're down there for a long enough time, you figure it out. But no one's going to be down there long enough, basically, and other than Scooter Henderson, who's got 2 years there. So I basically just see it as a very interesting place. And I think it's good for NBA sets because it's more of an NBA team roster building type of thing. And you see more, less college, you know, college, they love high-low passing and double bigs. And, you know, it's really restricted. And obviously all the different nuances of why college is different. But in terms of just competitiveness, I don't necessarily value one so much higher than the other is the long-winded version of the answer. I should have given you in one sentence.
No. I appreciate getting into the dialogue and getting into kind of some of the reasoning behind it. And I find that point very interesting that you bring up the fact that the G League is so guard dominant. And I do wonder, you know, when or if we're ever going to see like a top tier, you know, big decide to go the G League route, because we really haven't seen that to this point yet. And as you alluded to with the kind of play style and how it favors guards, I wonder if that does kind of skew the data a little bit, to where even if there was, you know, a prospect that decided to go the G League route that was a big, maybe he wouldn't look at, you know, be looked upon as favorably because it is so guard dominant.
Yeah, I think you could probably, if you're a shooting big, you probably have a bit more leeway depending on the program you maybe had offers from in college. You might have more leeway in the G League to just get shots up. But yeah, I would, if I was just kind of rim running defensive center, I would recommend going to college because, you know, the 3 second rule in the paint is different. So you can get, you know, really lots of blocks basically. And obviously much more of a crowded paint. So you can just look better as a defensive big. You know, I've heard that sort of comment about Walker Kessler, that maybe his blocks are inflated at college, that he wouldn't get an NBA where he's averaging, you know, 5 blocks a game or whatever because of the 3 second rule. So I think definitely better for guards, maybe not as good for centers as the rule for G League, as you say.
No, it's okay. Kessler's going to become a rocket and he's going to average 5 blocks a game. It's going to happen. No,
in chat, so it's a block party in Houston.
I do want to go back to just to clarify here, because I want to make sure I completely understand. The way that I originally phrased that first question for you, you know, is there in your mind right now, do you think the G League holds a competitive edge over college for the players that do choose to go there because of the exposure to the NBA sets, to more of an NBA kind of lifestyle, playing alongside, you know, actual like grown men competition, at least so much so to where there's like an advantage to go to the G League versus college? Or do you think both still kind of have their pros and cons to them, to where there's not like a clear advantage one or the other at this point?
Yeah, I would say there isn't a clear advantage over one or the other. I think it'll take more years. In terms of the draft, just where they get drafted, I don't think it makes that much of a difference. Whether in 5 years down the line, we'll need a lot longer to figure out whether it actually develops players better. But no, I wouldn't say there's a huge difference overall. I think it's just personal circumstance, to be honest.
And then this was something that we were talking about before even hitting the record button, but there is unfortunately a limited amount of G League footage available, which makes kind of the scouting a little bit harder on your end.
Yeah, so full disclosure, I like to be transparent about this. So all the college games I have, I can watch all of them in their fullness, but G League is difficult for me. So, shout out to the Draftmatic YouTube channel, which is back, by the way. Hopefully it stays up. So that might, some of those old games might be real uploaded. So yeah, for full disclosure, I've seen a couple of full games of G League, but this is the three players we'll talk about: Dyson Daniels, Jaden Hardy, and Marjan Beauchamp. A lot of highlight scouting, whereas every other show we do, I've gone, you know, I've watched all the games, 20 odd games or so. So take it with more of a grain of salt than the others. And these are going to be my three players with the most uncertainty for sure. Although I think they're all kind of like, especially Daniels and Beauchamp, they're kind of all role players. So, you know, you kind of know where you stand a little bit more with them anyway.
Makes a lot of sense. We're going to dive into those guys coming up here in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at Truebill. Look, do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your hard-earned money. Download Truebill to finally take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions that you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. Because look, I know this happened to me before. It's embarrassing, but it does, right? On average, people save up to $720 per year with Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions so hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap, one click, one press, one button. It is that easy. Don't fall for any more subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now. That's Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. That's Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. And another message from our friends over at rockauto.com, because look, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's so difficult to keep up with what car parts your car actually needs, right? At rockauto.com, it is so easy. You can save time and money by using Rock Auto. Why spend up to 30, 50, even 100% more for the exact same auto parts? And the best part, rockauto.com is a family business. They've been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They've got everything you could possibly need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even brand new carpet. So be sure to check out their amazing, easy to navigate website. And when you go to check out, this is a really important part, be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Be sure to visit rockauto.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, be sure to go check out the Locked On Now podcast, nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Continuing on here with Nathan Fogg, and we're going to dive into Dyson Daniels here, the first name on our G League list. Now, first off, I'm just going to be completely upfront, Nathan. When I look at these guys, none of these guys can shoot is the problem. So, you know, I come away not being super excited about any one of these three prospects, if only because I'm a big proponent of shooting. Like, if you can't shoot, I just immediately, like, your overall ceiling for me comes like crashing to the floor. And
you shouldn't be a huge Rockets fan.
Don't tell me about it. No, but it's one of those things where it's just, right now, maybe that's where I'm going to lean on you heavily here to kind of sell me on these guys. You're going to sell the listeners and you're going to sell me. And I know that you're pretty high on Dyson Daniels. So just give me your elevator pitch for Dyson Daniels right out of the gate.
Okay. So backup point guard who can be a lead ball handler on a second unit. Very, very, probably the best guard defender in the class, the best perimeter defender. A brilliant defender on the ball, and really versatile. Think of him, I like to think of his success story of the NBA being kind of like a Derek White, or he's actually growing. I think he's 6'6", but he's probably reaching 6'7". So someone like Kyle Anderson, who nothing jumps off a page about Kyle Anderson. He's not fast. Obviously, he's famously nicknamed Slow-Mo. Dyson Daniels is faster than him, but like he just rounds the corner in pick and roll, and he's a very inventive pick and roll passer. You know, against drop, he's going to find the popping big every time. He can jump in the air, twist, and throw that passes behind into a cutter. Just a very, I think, a high IQ, solid basketball player who, I think all of these players have bust potential. Welcome to the 2021 draft. It gets kind of sketchy after 10, probably. If he can't shoot in the shot, but we'll get into the form in a second, but if he can't shoot him, that's going to be a real problem. But if he can get himself up to just 33%, which is what like Derek White's career is, he can be a very, very valuable player who's not going to get on the rookie of the year ladder or get all-star consideration or anything like that. But we'll get, I mean, Derek White just got two first-round picks from Boston. Like, teams know his value. So a very smart player who has a lot in his tool bag, let's say.
So we're getting into kind of the area of, again, these guys are very role player-esque, or at least Dyson Daniels and Marjon Beauchamp for sure. Jaden Hardy might be a different conversation, but we'll get there when we get there. So as far as billing a player like this on, you know, basically on his defensive potential, as well as what he can do with the basketball in his hands, minus the shooting, obviously, is there a specific area of his game? You know, you highlighted the playmaking there, but you know, is there an expectation that he might be able to develop and grow into somebody that could be a starting caliber guy? Or do you kind of see his ceiling as, yeah, he's going to be a rotational guy off the bench? Is there anything, any part of his game that makes you think, you know what, if this part continues to develop or gets, you know, hits its true ceiling, true potential, he could really be an NBA caliber starter.
Well, I think if he can just get to an average or even just a slightly below average shooting, then he can be a starter for sure. Because what team doesn't want a scalable usage, you know, happy to be a low usage player who's very, very, very good at defending the perimeter, who you could put next to Jalen Green, and he's going to guard the best guy every night. I mean, he's a bit skinny right now, like, you know, welcome to Houston Rockets again. So it's going to take a couple of years before he's really like a force on my end. But his footwork is exceptional. I mean, a lot of people can defend angled drives from the side or stay attached on screen. I think the most difficult thing to do defensively on the NBA is defend going backwards, kind of like right at the top of the key where the ball handler has all the advantage because they're making all the moves, they're going downhill, you're trying to track back while staying in front. Dyson Daniels can do that. And, you know, I just tweeted out a clip today of he keeps his balance so well. And, you know, there's some clips where the ball handler is going to a screen and then quickly turns and goes the other way to reject a screen. And that usually can throw the defender off guard a little bit. He's so in tune with the ball handler. He's like, you can see his knees, he's right in balance. You never get him one committing one way or the other. And so many guard defenders are reacting to the ball handler because they obviously wait to see what they do. But there's something about, I don't know how he does it, whether he's looking at the feet, the eyes, his hands. He's like lockstep in rhythm with a ball handler, which is a very rare ability. So I think he's going to be a brilliant defender in the NBA. And he's got a lot offensively as well. He's a very capable and secure ball handler. I think he just plays at his own pace. He's never rushed, which I think like Houston could really use. Like he's someone who, if the other team goes on a 6-0 run or whatever, he's just going to settle everything down and kind of stir the drink, and he's going to just get a good play. And he also has a really good, he has actually an incredible floater. Like his shot put floater it's just beautiful. So he has a lot of stuff to like about him. It's just the shot, and the shot is really kind of awful. It's a really ugly form. So what he does is if it's a set shot and he's got time to think about it, it's quite bad. So he brings it really close to his chest, like a two hand, and he kind of goes up two hands. And I'm not a mechanics guy, and even I know it's bad. But when you see some cause for optimism is when you see him get the ball under pressure, if he catches it high and it just has to go up, it looks a lot more fluid. So I think there's something to work there, which gives me, you know, Sam Vecenie, I saw had him on his mock draft like 11th. I don't think that's a huge stretch for him. I think it would be in a stronger draft, but I think 11th, I'm probably going to have him somewhere between 11 and 14, let's say. I think there's a lot to work with for him.
So right there at the kind of tail end of the lottery area, ballpark, give or take, you know, as far as the way that he plays defense and kind of some of the things that you were highlighting about him, is there a specific game or a specific matchup that stands out to you? I know that we just already discussed that it is a little bit harder to find, you know, the full games or full G League highlights at times, but is there a specific, you know, matchup that really stood out to you where you looked at it and you said, oh, okay, this is what's standing out about him as a defender and how that could translate to the next level?
Well, the thing is, as we were saying, with the G League, it's all guard play. So he stands out kind of every game, to be honest. I think it was he played the South Bay Lakers twice back-to-back. No, it's the Clippers. He played the Clippers twice back-to-back. That's, if you want to catch a condensed game, those are good sort of highlights for his defensive ability. Yeah, he's you know, it's every possession he has to do it, basically. He's averaging, I think, nearly a block a game because he kind of gets these great blocks on the perimeter, which is really cool, and he gets them from recovery. He's a good off-ball defender as well. He gets, you know, he gets in space, he rotates into the rim. He's just everywhere. He's just everywhere. And he doesn't foul a lot. Trevor Keels uses his physicality to really get into player shirts. But I think Dyson Daniels is probably the best defender in the class under 6'10", you know, easily.
So, you know, we mentioned this earlier and we've mentioned this before when we do these kind of breakdowns and we've discussed some of the G League prospects, but, you know, defense in the G League is, you know, questionable at best, optional, if you will, sometimes. Does that make it better, or is that, you know, more impressive that you come away thinking that he's a good help defender or a good team defender, or does it kind of reduce the impact of the eye test of him on the defensive side just because maybe he's standing out so well because some of the other guys are struggling?
No, I think it's definitely impressive because I think one of the blind spots we all have as sort of, you know, amateur scouts is Intel, and, you know, so I try to pay attention to what people who are more plugged in say about it, and you know, they all say him and Marjan Beauchamp are very, scouts come away really impressed with their professionalism and how they play. So I think the fact that he's that dedicated to defensive end in a league that is, you know, all about offense, and the fact that he can average 11 points a game and be perfectly happy. You know, he's sometimes he's a fourth option on offense, especially once Scoot Henderson got into the team after his injury at the start of the year. And, you know, he's fine playing that way. But the reason why I said, you know, backup point guard, I don't think a lot of people necessarily categorize him as a point guard, but I think he could. I would like to give him second unit runs. You know, you think back to that 2016-17 season under Mike D'Antoni, when James Harden was on the bench, when it was Patrick Beverley running the show, or they gave ball handing. He was good. That was a really good bench unit. That bench unit kept him above water. Like, if I was watching some clips of him, if you compare it to like Russell Westbrook's OKC team where they just plummeted, Mike D'Antoni was in his bag in 2016. Like, that was a great coaching year from him. Like Beverly and Nene had this great pick and roll partnership, and they were like a plus one without James. It's crazy. So I think he can have that kind of impact on a team where he just keeps things ticking over while your star is taking a break or whatever. What I really like about him, and why I think he does have tendencies as a pure point guard, is that he probes under the rim. So one of his downsides is he doesn't have his crazy athleticism. I'm not sure how great of a finisher at the rim he is. Like I said, he relies more on his great shot floater that he has. But he'll probe under the rim. So he'll go down, take a drive strong side. I mean, he does the Steve Nash move where he goes right under the rim, takes a big with him, draws the defenders with him. It's like one of my favorite things in basketball. And he'll whip it through traffic. I mean, some of his passes are insane. Some of his passes are really, really good. And if you look at, you know, some of these 6'8", 6'9", I mean, he's, like I said, he's a bit smaller, maybe 6'6", 6'7", but these taller players who can make connective passes from all over the court are very valuable these days in the NBA, and especially in an offense like Silas's, where everyone's kind of asked to step up and do things. I think he'd be a great fit. I mean, if you get Chet number one or number two, and then you get Dyson Daniels wherever, if he fell to the Brooklyn pick, you've basically got a pick-and-roll defense for your next 10 years, and you've got a capable ball handler. It's kind of a job done, you know. I'm happy with that. Let's go 2023. Let's go. Let's try and get Scoot Henderson as well.
Okay. All right. You know what? You've sold me a little bit more on Dyson Daniels. I come away a little bit more enticed by the idea of him on the Rockets, especially. And again, so much is up in the air right now with where that Brooklyn pick actually ultimately falls. And, you know, if it keeps just cascading down the standings or up in the standings, however you want to look at it, then potentially this could be a name that might see him, you know, fall a little bit closer to the Rockets. But I got two more names to talk about here, Jaden Hardy and my favorite name probably in a minute that I've been able to utter out loud, Marjon Beauchamp. We're going to get to those guys in just a quick minute after a message from our friends over at Built Bar. When it comes to protein bars, you've got to check out Built Bar. They are the number one protein bar on the market. They're so delicious, so great. Every bar is covered in 100% delicious chocolate. They're not gritty or chalky like other protein bars that are out there. These protein bars are actually so good. They're basically candy bars that are jam-packed with protein. They've got so many amazing flavors to choose from. Strawberry, cookies and cream, mint brownie, peanut butter, coconut brownie chunk, the number one Built Bar, my personal favorite. You can't go wrong with any of them. Every single bar is low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Amazing if you're on a keto diet. Amazing if you're trying to cut back a little bit, lose a little bit of weight. Check out Built Bar. You can check them out. Just go to built.com and use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your very next order of the best tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, go check out the Locked On NBA podcast. Hey, I host that one on Mondays, right? If you're not checking it out on Mondays, what are you doing? No, go check out Locked On NBA podcast, covering the biggest stories around the league every week, Monday through Friday, in less than 30 minutes, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, we've got two more names to go here, Nathan. Who do you want to talk about first between Jaden Hardy and Marjon Beauchamp?
Let's go Beauchamp, and then we'll end on Hardy, because Hardy's, I think, going to be the interesting one. So let's save him for last.
Hardy was the name that had like the most hype. You know, like I know a lot of people were really high on Jaden Hardy, and unfortunately the numbers have not supported that. So we'll get to him in just a second. Yeah. Let's go with Marjon Beauchamp. Now with him again, I already alluded to this earlier, but the shooting is just not there for any of these guys currently. But with Beauchamp, is there, and I unfortunately with Beauchamp, I haven't seen a whole lot of film on him, so I need you to really walk me through this one. You know, does he have the defensive upside that Dyson Daniels has? What is his calling card, and what kind of gives you optimism as with his ability to succeed?
He's like Daniel House with bigger hair. No, I'm just kidding.
That's the second time you no, we got to go back to our bit, right, of comparing like every prospect to Daniel House Jr. somehow. So.
Well, he's not. So he's an off-ball wing, so, you know, similar to House, but he's actually averaging 15 points in the G League, more than Dyson Daniels, even though he's probably got a lower usage. He gets most of his points from cutting, and he's really good off screens. And he's one of these players who just, you look up and he's got 10 points and you don't know how. He just kind of finds spaces. You know, he gets into the heart of the defense. He gets, you know, he flashes middle, hits top of the paint. And he just, how much of that translates to the league is always a worry for me in college and in G League. It's kind of like the Kendall Brown talk we had. But, you know, he's athletic and he's long and he's got the wingspan. And I think any 3-and-D player, theoretical 3-and-D player, usually goes, 16, 17, 18. And in this draft where there's kind of not many of those, even just archetypes, never mind whether the skill's there. That's why he's kind of picked as a potential very late lottery pick. But I still think, and to clarify, all of these players, we're talking strictly with a Brooklyn pick. None of these are in the range of, you know, Houston's pick or their own pick. Beauchamp is a good defender. He's not in the same league as Dyson Daniels on ball, and he's a little bit slow laterally. But as a help defender, he's got a lot of potential. And, you know, whether he's helping at the nail with his arms, whether he's just getting into position, getting steals from behind, he's very active off ball. And again, someone who scouts, who I know other people have talked to scouts and say that he's very, just a very, very high motor, high professional and great in transition. Up and down the court would help Houston immensely in transition. Just does the little things. You know, you think of him like a Josh Hart, one of these players, Larry Nance, just these players who just fill the gaps and just do little things. You're not going to come away saying, wow, Houston got Marjon Beauchamp in the draft, let's go. But he could definitely be a really solid player for you down the line. And actually, even just increasing your sort of floor and your levels of play in your first year, which I think would be really vital for Houston going forward.
So high motor, high athleticism, just a guy who can get out in transition, who can defend, who's going to do the little stuff. So basically almost your prototypical like energy bunny guy off the bench, right? Inject him in. He's going to wreak a little bit of havoc. He's going to get out. He's going to get some easy points. And you're going to look up at the scoreboard and wonder how he has 12 points at halftime when he's not a focal point of the offense realistically, right?
Yeah, I mean, remember last year, just after when James left, and they were throwing out these bench units with Jayshon Tate of a five. And no, sorry, when we had James Harden, so we were somewhat of a competent team, so about 11 and 10 start. And it was, we'd all just had small ball for 6 months, and we were thinking, oh, it doesn't work, we've realised that. But then we had these five-man unit of just where we were playing them for 4 or 5 minutes, Noaba and Tate, and it really worked. And it's like, this is what it is, it's those five-minute energy bursts. If you put Marjon Beauchamp with Tate and, you know, whoever else, that's where you start to see that vision of, yeah, he could just junk stuff up immediately and really just, as you said, be that energizing money. Not just, I don't want to downsell his on-ball stuff because I think he's a really good driver. I think he's, you know, he's got acceleration and deceleration. He's got some sort of improvisation there. I don't think it's a huge thing to be a 20-point scorer in the NBA. He does have driving ability. You know, he's someone who could attack a closeout for sure or attack a warped defense and probably play in the sort of five-out system that Silas likes. So he does have some shot creation too, and he's a good finisher at the rim. I think he's shooting about 58% on two-pointers. Most of those are at the rim. It's just a three-point shot again, and all of these players tie into each other because if you've got two bad three-point shooters, all your spacing's junked up. So they're all kind of bringing each other down in a sense. But yeah, the three-point shot's not there, and that's why he's not top 10, top 12 pick. But once you get to Brooklyn, whether it's going to be 18, 19, 20, he's definitely also someone that you're probably going to see on mock drafts a lot in that range.
All right, let's get to our last guy here in Jaden Hardy. Now, this is a guy that, I mean, I remember first seeing like the highlight reels of him and stuff floating around on Twitter, and people are like, oh, this guy's going to be great. And he's got like the makings of like just, you know, bona fide bucket getter, very, very, very Cam Thomas-esque, I think, a little bit, in just like he's going to go out and absolutely score the basketball, but the efficiency is not there. And I do think that there's something to be said for guys who are straight bucket getters who, if they can, you know, kind of revamp their like decision-making, shot, you know, shot selection, all of that at the NBA level, there's something to be said for the ability to just go get your own shot, right? At, you know, like no matter what. And I think that with Jaden Hardy, he absolutely has that skill, that trait. And that is something that can translate at the next level and can be really, really good as like a six man guy or just a scoring punch off the bench, what have you. And that's kind of what I look at Jaden Hardy right now as, is he's like that bona fide, just come off the bench, get you some buckets really quick. I don't know if he's going to be like a long-term NBA starter, at least like not right now. Like I've the hype is lessened for me when it comes to Jaden Hardy for sure.
Yeah, I think I pretty much agree with everything you said. I mean, I think he gets to his spot really well, especially that spot, which is, I mean, but even when I say that, the shot, the spot which he likes is the pull-up midi, and most defenses are giving you that shot. So it's not that impressive in a way. You know, it's a win for the defense when he does it. I mean, watching him is like, you know, you want to bang your head against the wall. The decision-making is awful. And then, you know, Scoot Henderson will come in and just be insane. Like, Scoot Henderson is the best prospect in the world. And then you have to watch Jaden Hardy hoist up these shots. And I've thought about him a lot and tried to figure it out, because I think he's obviously got this potential to kind of make everyone look silly if he just becomes this great elite guard. But the thing is, there's just so many downsides. It's like, okay, so he shoots 43% from two because he takes these bad pull-ups. That's really bad. He's also not that great of a rim either. I mean, he doesn't have much lift at all. I think he's got a good sort of, I think he can absorb contact a bit. He's got a big body. He's got a good frame. But he's actually got a really disappointing burst of the rim. He's not a high leaper at all. And that really drags him down in his finishing. His finishing is really, really poor for him. So it's just kind of all these four levels of scoring he's like really bad at. And that's just hard to really convince yourself. I think NBA fans and on Twitter, it's kind of this obsession of the bag. You know, if you've got a bag, and Jaden Hardy's definitely got those skills. But and I fell for that with Killian Hayes as well in his draft cycle. And that's why a lot of people had him top five. Obviously, Kevin O'Connor famous had him first. And he's really not figured it out. And I think Jaden Hardy's struggling to get separation in the G League. He's struggling to get separation in the Rising Stars game, which is all about just, you know, score, score, score. So I just don't ever see him being this, or he's suddenly going to figure it out. He doesn't have the athleticism. It doesn't look like it at the rim, certainly. He's not like he's hiding in plain sight type of thing. Yes, I'm sure the shot will improve, and he's a 76% free throw shooter in the G League. That's decent. It's not amazing, but it's not terrible. Those players usually become, I'm sure he can become an average three-point shooter because the form looks fine on catch and shoot, but I just don't think there's enough there overall for me to really buy into him as he's going to make me look, oh, he's so good. We're going to be looking back at him as he should have been a top seven pick. Because it's just nothing really stands out. He's a good playmaker. I think Dyson Daniels is a better playmaker. Dyson Daniels is a way better defender. Jaden Hardy is one of these defense optional players who's really maddeningly,
there we go.
Maddeningly inconsistent. And it's like, you're not good enough on offense to be that inconsistent on defense, because you've got the frame, and when you really try, you're okay. But you're not good enough on offense to play like that defensively. So, yeah, Hardy is a very frustrating player to watch, because sometimes you see the skill. But I've kind of come down on the side of the skill's not even that high, even in the flashes, for me to think, you know, I'm going to have him in the 20s, I'm presuming, to be honest. And I think he would be horrendous fit with Jalen Green, so Houston should stay well away.
Yeah, and there's not enough even there. Like, I know you touched on the playmaking a little bit, but is there even optimism? Because at his size, I think you kind of fall into the trap of, you know, unless he's bringing a lot to the table as your two guard, then you really fall into the trap of, okay, who are you going to pair him with? Because he's not a point guard. He's not going to be your floor general. And if you're trotting out a backcourt with two, you know, largely undersized guards, then that can lead to some punishment on the other end for sure. And there's already not a whole lot of confidence on his ability on the defensive side of the basketball. So just to, like, it feels like there's just not a lot to write home about with Jaden Hardy, unfortunately, at this point. He's got the shot, like the bucket getter skill, or like he's got the bag, quote unquote, because he's got the flashy handle. He can get to his spots. But other than that, it's just there hasn't been a whole lot to be excited about for me. And that's why I've definitely kind of trended down on him to this point.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely still has his believers. So, you know, again, another caveat that I don't watch like high school stuff. So, and I don't even think he played the year before. So he's not played in a couple of years, but obviously he was a five-star recruit and all this. So he has his pedigree from going back. So, you know, 24 games he's played, or 26 games. We can't bury the guy just off that. And some of the shooting, because it's really weird in the G League United. So the first half of the year, they play the regular season, and he shoots 88% from a free-throw line. It's only 34 shots, but if you're shooting 85%, you're going to be a very good three-point shooter in the NBA. That's just how it works. But then they go on this G League tour where they play in all these random places, and everyone's free throw shooting goes, like, Dyson Daniels shot 33% from a line, and Beauchamp shot 47% from a line, and Jaden Hardy shot like 50%, and it really dragged his average down. So I just don't understand what happened. Maybe we were just all really tired, played too many games. They're all like in Milwaukee, and it's, I don't know, they're not used to the cold. I don't know what's happened with it. So it's the G League Ignite Tour, if you look at those stats on it. Something really weird happened with the water. The water in G League City is something's happened there. So if he's closer to that high 80s free throw shooter, then he's going to be a good three-point shooter. That's just usually how it works. Like I said, if you go to NBA.com and look at players who shot higher than 85% and who don't shoot higher than 35% from three-point line, it's basically DeRozan and Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler was a 37% shooter for a couple of years. So I don't really know what happened there. So his shot looks good to me. I think it's a bit odd that it's not translated. So that's something that you could tell yourself as off-ball player, athletic, you can get out in transition and be a playmaker and shoot. There's something there, but to me, it's I'd rather have Daniels and Beauchamp for Houston for sure. That's for sure.
So to recap the ranges for where you think these guys are going to kind of fall, or where you have them at least on your personal board, let's go through with Dyson Daniels. You had him like kind of late lottery range, right?
Yeah, somewhere between 11 and 15, let's say.
Okay, and then with Marjon Beauchamp, a little bit after that.
Yeah, I think he'll be on the board with the Brooklyn pick. I think depending on what happens in the next couple of months, I think he'll be 15 to 20.
Okay, and Jaden Hardy rounding out the end somewhere 20 to into the first round ballpark.
I would have him there, but I think someone would. I wouldn't be surprised if someone takes a swing on him. You know, we've seen some players go 10. You know, that you're really surprised at. So I wouldn't be shocked if he's the first off the board in the G League. But I also would. Yeah, I would have him in the 20s somewhere.
Okay. All right. So there we go. We've got our three G League Ignite players in the books. Nathan, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Go ahead and let our listeners know where to track you down at.
Nathan Fogg 1 on Twitter, and then TN Rockets is a blog where I'm actually doing a lot more stuff with you now than I don't have time to write anymore. So just stay tuned to Locked On Rockets, I suppose. This is my life now, watching prospects and coming on here every couple of weeks.
Well, hey, I enjoy it. I enjoy these conversations. I learn more every time we're able to sit down and have these conversations. Hopefully the listeners feel the same. Nathan, always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks, man. Speak soon.
All right. That's going to do it for today's episode covering the three G League Ignite prospects. Which one are you most interested in? Is it Jaden Hardy? Is it Dyson Daniels? Is it Marjon Beauchamp? Let us know in the comments on the YouTube channel. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also, already mentioned it, be sure to check out the YouTube channel, like, comment, subscribe. Well, go to YouTube first, search Locked On Rockets, then like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.